910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Iran threatening a retaliatory strike on Israel over the assassination of a top Hamas official who was killed in Tehran. Lebanon's Hezbollah also threatening a separate attack over the killing of one of its top leaders as well. Another state giving voters a chance to cast a ballot on abortion rights this fall.
Abortion rights will now officially be on the ballot in battleground Arizona in November. Arizona Secretary of State tells ABC News there are enough signatures for a ballot initiative that will ask voters to establish the constitutional right to an abortion up to around 24 weeks of pregnancy.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. Right now, Arizona bans abortions after about 15 weeks, except in medical emergencies. Former President Donald Trump taking part in a conversation with Elon Musk on X. Trump saying he will oversee the largest deportation in the history of the country if reelected. Starbucks is replacing its CEO, Laxman Narasimhan, stepping down. Chipotle CEO Brian Nickel will take over next month. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Today is partisan primary election day, the first election day since new boundaries for Wisconsin's Senate and Assembly districts went into effect. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf.
Who's on their ballot, what districts they're qualified to vote in, depends on their address. And so when the redistricting happened, voters who are now in a new district, their registration was moved by their clerk into that appropriate district.
Polls are open till 8 tonight. That's when election night coverage begins on many civic media radio stations and online. The last of four hotel security guards linked to the death of Devante Mitchell in Milwaukee has made his initial court appearance. Herbert Williamson and three others restrained Mitchell on June 30th. Mitchell died of asphyxiation. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Rice Lake wood manufacturing plant closed earlier this month, apparently providing only one day of notice for employees before they were let go. According to a WEAU report, Bessie Forest Products filed the notice that they were planning to close on August 1st and terminated all 46 of their employees on August 2nd. In a statement, company officials said they were sorry they couldn't provide more notice to their employees, citing failed restructuring alternatives as the reason that they were closing with such short notice. The Hartley Nature Center in Duluth held their new annual Trails Fest event over the weekend. According to a Northern News Now report, it was only the second year of the event, which shows appreciation to the organizations that keep the park trails in great condition so residents can take full advantage of their offerings. The Trails Fest event featured a bike clinic, yoga, hiking, and a variety of other outdoor activities. Organizers also thanked those organizations for their work on keeping other trails in the area in good shape. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers and Dodgers continue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Dodgers game two of a four-game series with Colin Ray against LA's right-hander Gavin Stone. 37-year-old Clayton Kershaw led the Dodgers to a 5-2 win last night at AmFam Field, Kershaw allowing just one run in 5 2/3 innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's a consummate pitcher, you know, like this guy is Hall of Famer for a reason. He'd be the first to tell you his stuff isn't as good, but yeah, I haven't seen our young guys respond that way. The moment was a lot. You know, and a little surprised, but Kershaw was great. He deserves everything he's going to get in this game.
NFL, the Packers holding practice before heading to Denver to play the Broncos. Lucas Van Ness had three tackles and a quarterback sack in the win over the Browns and was asked if he's feeling more comfortable in the Packers' new 4-3 defense.
Comfortable is not a good word to use just because, again, you're fine for your job. You never want to be comfortable because it's always, you know, you're growing and you're trying to get to the next position.
That's Lucas Van Ness with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 59. Tomorrow, some sunshine in the morning. Mostly cloudy in the afternoon, 82 with scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, we learn about the growing popularity of green burials. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 9:10 a.m. WBZH.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You know, the weather's great, so it's not too much to complain about.
Yeah, man, this string of nice weather continues. There hasn't been, you know, real rain in...
There's almost nothing to talk about. It's, the weather's so good. I mean, what are you going to say other than hooray? Hallelujah.
So by now you know who that is. That's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Have you noticed that the vegetation, flowers and all those things, have come out sooner? The fall vegetation, flowers that come out normally late, they've come out and already died, and leaves are falling off trees. Have you noticed that?
Well, you know, something happened. We have a bit of an orchard in our yard, and the apples, a bunch of them have already turned red, which is really odd.
Yes.
That doesn't happen until the end of
October.
September.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so, yeah, something's going on.
Yes, something is clearly going on. I'm looking at leaves falling off trees, and maybe... it was all of that rain and things came up so early.
Maybe it's not really August.
Oh.
Maybe this is the twilight zone.
Yeah, but I'm wondering.
Look out on the wing.
Yeah, I'm wondering how, you know, and I guess the season is the season. It can't, you know, retard itself and say, hey, we got to wait. You're too early.
It's presenting itself early.
Are you noticing that?
Like I said, the apples a variety of things. The leaves are beginning to flag on some trees. I don't know if it's too much rain. I don't know what the deal is.
I think it was too much rain early. And I think also, Sandy, that you would think about the effect that it has on animals, say the deer, yeah, and others who are used to a certain time of the year when all those things happen. And if long term, maybe that even affects them during the winter months, because normally they would be eating those apples that fall in, you know, late October or whatever, they're not going to be there.
I don't know. Yeah, a couple of deer came up and asked me what the heck, what is going on here. I didn't have an answer for them.
Anyway, Sandy, there's a lot to talk about. Today is election day.
It is. It's kind of a surprise. I don't ever think of a primary election in August, but we have them.
Is that unusual?
I think we always have them. I just, somehow it's not in my mind. It used to be, I think, that, our primary for presidential primaries was never this late, you know, so it was... we always had primaries much earlier in the year. I don't know.
So depending on where you are, you'll have a chance to vote And there's a referendum on there that's really important one way or the other, whether or not you think the governor should have the power himself to determine how he spends surpluses that were, you know, derived from the federal government, and whether or not you should turn that over to the state legislature. It's amazing to me. I heard Scott Walker talking about it the other day, of all people. And he clearly believes that that should be up to who?
Well, if he was in office, he would say it should be up to the governor. But since he's out of office, my guess is, I'm just guessing, that he'll say it should be up to the Republican legislature and not the Democratic governor.
That's exactly. He wanted to tell the people that they should vote.
And I don't think the governor has absolute discretion under this process. So I think the language is designed to make you think that you're dealing with the issue of sort of the autocratic power of the governor or the democratic power of the legislature, but that's not really the way it breaks down. And my belief is that the proper way to vote is against the referendum that would be limiting on the governor's powers. Having had experience in the governor's office, it's kind of important that we give the governor some control, some fiscal controls with respect to expenditures, particularly in his capacity to deal with particular situations.
So, Sandy, who determines what gets on the ballot? Those particular questions, who determines how
the referendums get determined? You know, I should have the answer. I believe it's probably the legislature that puts it there. Maybe it can be handled as well by petition. I'm not sure.
Okay. But anyway, got a lot to talk about this morning, as always, Sandy. Where to begin, Sandy? Donald Trump got to sit down with Elon Musk. Must see.
Wow. And I did listen to some of that, you know, a really rich guy and a guy who really wants to be really rich, talking to one another, total softball conversation. Donald Trump kept saying during that, and he keeps saying, you know, could anybody else do this? Could anybody else talk for 2 hours? Could anyone else have a press conference like this? Anybody could have a press conference like his, because he clearly does no homework before press conferences. And basically makes stuff up. I was listening to his discussion of how he's going to have the most massive deportation in recorded history, because there are millions of immigrants coming into this country every month, he said. Now, that's a total fallacious statement, okay? But if you don't do any homework, and if all you're doing is having a make-believe conversation in which you can make blank up, you know.
Stuff.
Yeah, you can make stuff up. It's real easy to do that for 2 hours. I could do that. You could do that. Anybody could do that. It's the question of whether you can be disciplined and actually stick to facts, have policy discussions that are real. You know, he talks about how he wants to have a massive tax cut. He talks about, the party talks about having fiscal restraint and limiting the size of deficits. You can't have big tax cuts and limit the size of deficits without having massive changes in expenditures and reductions in expenditures by the government. Last time Donald Trump had a big tax cut, they made no reductions in government expenditures. And, of course, we had a bigger deficit then. The last year before the pandemic was a huge deficit. And the scale of that deficit was defined primarily by the fact that they had enacted a tax cut during a boom, at a time when we were already experiencing deficits, and the deficit simply got much larger.
You know, Sandy, you and I, we keep talking about, you know, this. People will ask, some will call and say, why are you constantly talking about, you know, Donald Trump and these things? You know, Sandy, it really is this decision that we are going to have to make. People really need to be made aware of what's truth and what's fiction. And if you continue to just be enamored with what he says. And there is no, you know, truth in what he says. And at the time that the nation is in the condition that it's in,
the nation in the condition that it's in, that's almost playing into Donald Trump. He wants us to think the nation's in a terrible situation.
The budget perspective.
Well, he talks about the huge economic problem created by the current administration, but really all he can point at is inflation, which is way
under
down.
Under control, right?
And wouldn't have been under control if Donald Trump were in charge and controlling the Federal Reserve Bank, because he would never have done the things that the Federal Reserve did to get it under control. I think what's happened, though, on the campaign is that before, everyone knew that Donald Trump was a buffoon. He was a person who said a charlatan, a grifter. And they, however, were willing to say, yeah, but somehow his policies worked out all right. It worked out all right under him. And then there was the big and but. Look at the other guy, how old he is. And so they had an excuse. People who maybe lean Republican don't lean in the direction of Democrats. All they need was an excuse to not want to vote Democrat, right? Well, they had a big excuse. They had Joe Biden. They had his apparent frailty. They had a bunch of things that could be pointed at. And so they'd say, okay, we're going to take Donald Trump. He's despicable, as even some of our callers would agree. He's a buffoon, but look at the other guy.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the other guy's gone. Okay. So now I'm afraid that, and I'm pretty confident that Donald Trump's buffoonery will simply stick out like a sore thumb, because the other guy's gone, and now we have two people who are articulate, who are young, who are vigorous, about whom the only thing you can argue would be policy. Okay, you'll have to get into a policy discussion. Well, Donald Trump, he's not capable. He's not disciplined. They don't have disciplined policies. They don't have policies that they would want to discuss, right? They don't want to discuss tax cuts that will redound to the benefit of the wealthy and not the middle class. The tariff policy is harebrained. I don't think they really want to talk about that very much. It's highly inflationary and will increase costs for everybody, for everything. So, you know, I think that the Joe Biden stepping out really does change this election in so many ways, and it will bring it down to earth. You know, it'll make it seem like a much more kind of a standard election where we don't have to talk about the perils quite as much. There's a great deal of peril in electing Donald Trump, but what we can focus on is the fact that this is an undisciplined person, unsuitable to be president. It will be much more glaring in the spotlight. And the more he tries to draw the spotlight, the more he talks in hyperbole and exaggeration, the more the Republicans decide to try and reach for straws in terms of attacking the candidates on the other side with silliness, you know, the stolen valor thing we can talk about. But all of that, I think, is just going to create a stark comparison for people to look at, which they didn't have before, because they always had that big B, but look at this guy.
You know, Sandy, you just laid it out and you used the verbiage for the first time that the man really is unsuitable to be president of the United States. There's no question about that. There's never been another person like him. And the fact that he was able to weasel himself in the first time, I want to talk about, you know, he lost the last time, and what's different this time? What has he done to change his perspective that would now people who voted for him the last the last time were now?
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Well, one of my all-time favorite groups, Fifth Dimension.
Hair.
Yeah.
I saw Hair on Broadway when I was in law school. It was a breakthrough.
The Age of Aquarius, that seems so far in the future and out of reach. Wow. I think we've surpassed the Age of Aquarius.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're in the Age of Aquarius. I'm not sure what it means.
Right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host, Sandy Woods. And Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, I just wanted to put this out there again. So Donald Trump lost the last time he ran. Really, Joe Biden, it was a landslide, right?
Well, it was a pretty big victory.
Popular vote.
Yeah.
So there were people who clearly voted for Donald Trump the first time. Who didn't vote for him the second time.
Well, and the other thing about the demographics is many more people turned out the second time. I think the first election between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton had a lot of people not liking either candidate.
Right.
And a lot of people sat on their hands and I think didn't vote because the voter turnout the second time was massively larger. And that redounded to the Democrats' benefit. And Donald Trump got more votes the second time than he did the first time. But the Democrats got many more votes the second time, the election of Biden rather than the election of Hillary.
So listen to this. When Hillary and Donald Trump ran, many people didn't like either candidate.
Right.
This last time Biden and Trump were running, people didn't like either candidate.
Yeah, but the...
What's the common thread?
Well, the common thread is that people were energized because they had watched Donald Trump be president for 40 years. And the Democrats got highly excited about that, about the notion that they didn't want someone like that to remain president. And so did the undecideds, because the undecided vote swung decidedly in the direction of the Democrats. So a bunch of people saw Donald Trump in action and decided they didn't want that to happen again. Now, maybe what Donald Trump's counting on is short-term memory problems, right? So that the electorate might forget what it was like from 2016 to 2020, and rather he can get them to focus on whatever, like the period of inflation during the Biden administration, or to scare them with social issue notions that are going to scare them into voting again for him. But, it's an interesting process. I think the danger he's got now is that they've got a candidate running against them, Harris and Walz, who I think are riding a wave of enthusiasm and popularity. It's not any longer two candidates that we don't
that
like.
That people don't like, right. Yeah. There's only one candidate now.
Yeah, there's one
that people didn't like.
It's got that historic baggage.
Right.
And so now the Republicans are kind of wildly trying to figure out what can they stick on these people to try and paint them in a form that will keep people from talking about policy and will get them talking about silliness, okay?
Right.
This ridiculous swift boating effort against Walz, or the notion that Kamala's husband had an affair before they got married. I mean, stuff that's totally extraneous. And incidentally, crazy to run those ideas, because Donald Trump doesn't look good on either score, right? He didn't have any stolen valor. He ran from it, okay? He made sure he had bone spurs that he can't remember which foot they were in so he could get deferred. Now, you know, lots of people, I got deferred during Vietnam. I'm not going to criticize someone who got deferred during Vietnam, but I'm not going to accuse someone else of being a pathetic veteran, okay? I'm not going to accuse someone else of not doing what they should have done when they got captured by the Vietnamese like he did John McCain. And similarly, I don't think that they're on very good grounds trying to attack the family morality associated with Doug Imhoff prior to the time when he married the vice president, when we have a president who has openly and notoriously led an entirely shameful private life.
Yeah, Sandy, so sometimes I wonder if they think that we're just foolish, the American people. I mean the Republicans, because
you shouldn't wonder that. Donald Trump has said, these people will believe anything I tell them.
Yeah, well, his people.
Well, he's got the grifter instinct. He understands if you say it often enough, they'll believe it. You know, that was from the Goebbels book for propaganda, but it's also the grifter's book of con, right? You say it often enough, and that people will begin to believe, well, where there's that much smoke, there must be some fire.
Well, you know, Sandy, again, to talk about this man's military record and to make it a major issue when your guy is clearly a guy that we know it's been an issue and people talked about it the couple times he ran before.
Well, I would urge people to look in YouTube at the Adam Kunzinger video, in which Adam Kunzinger, himself a veteran who was in war, in combat, discusses the shamefulness of the effort to swift boat Tim Walz, and points out the facts, points out that Tim Walz retired from after 24 years. He could have gotten a pension at 20 years, but he stayed for 24 years. He retired in January so that he could run for Congress. His unit didn't know they were going to be deployed in January, so he didn't retire because he could then avoid a deployment. He retired to run for Congress. And the unit didn't find out they were going to be deployed for a month or 2 months or 3 months after. And the government doesn't leak this information to them. The Republicans are saying, well, that unit knew for years they were going to be deployed. No, every unit talks about, oh, my God, we're going to get deployed. And that's constant speculation, because who knows, right? And you worry. But this man served for 24 years. He did achieve the rank that he says that he achieved. But when you retire, you get demoted. Your rank gets demoted, not as a matter of that you got demoted.
You couldn't retire at that rank.
You can't retire at that rank for income purposes, because he wasn't at that rank long enough, okay? He had to be at that rank, I think, 3 years to retire at that rank. So his retirement rank is lower than the rank he actually – but no, the Republicans and the social media is running around saying he's claiming a rank that he didn't have, okay? That's not true.
So,
the truth belies all that they're saying. All they can look at is a 2018 – statement he made when he was talking about guns and saying people shouldn't be able to carry these guns of war like are carried in war, as I did. Okay, but he wasn't claiming to be in war, and his words could be interpreted in one instance like that, but he's never ran around claiming that he was in war. That's stolen
valor. Sandy, if your guy had an exemplary record,
yeah,
I could understand you trying to present that.
Really, I think the whole record thing, like, to be honest with you, is the red herring that people drag across the campaign trail so they don't have to talk about issues.
Yeah.
Tom, Dick, and Mary don't care about those issues.
No. Listen, again, Donald Trump, we know what happened with him and the bone spurs. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hang on the phone lines. We'll get you on the other side.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 288,000 people have already voted in Wisconsin's primary election. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says that's how many absentee ballots had come in as of early yesterday morning. It's the first election since 2022 that voters can use ballot drop boxes. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is paying more than $2 billion to minority farmers, ranchers, and foresters. It's to make up for discriminatory practices of the past, like denying government loans. But some advocates say they want more transparency.
I'm not personally dazzled about numbers or dollar amounts unless I can connect that to the people that are being most impacted.
Sharon Mallory is with the 2020 Farmers Co-op. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Superior School Board voted unanimously to add a ballot referendum to November's election on Monday. The vote comes as the district struggles with budget issues that forced the closure of a school last year, as well as layoffs for over 25 teachers and 30 support staff. If the referendum is approved, owners of a $200,000 home would pay on a rising scale each year, starting at $14 in year one and ending at $158 in year five. If it fails, the school district may have to make further cuts. The Minnesota Department of Transportation is announcing more temporary lane closures on I-35 and the Blatnik Bridge this week. According to the DOT, there will be single lane closures in both directions on I-35 between 27th Avenue West and Garfield Avenue on Wednesday. The Blatnik Bridge will be closed from 6 a.m. on Thursday to 6 a.m. on Friday. Department of Transportation officials say the Blatnik Bridge closures are necessary to complete the final bypass connections that provide direct access from the bridge to I-35. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a movie this weekend that is ripe for theater viewing as opposed to streaming, and you can't seem to get enough of franchises, check out Alien Romulus. Not even sure I need to explain what it's about, but the story finds colonizers in space who end up in peril when they come face to face with, you guessed it, aliens. Alien Romulus is the umpteenth installment in the series and most likely not the last, and it opens August 16th. Have fun at the movies. Matt Damon says the people and culture of Boston can seem abrasive and harsh. Damon's new comedy is called The Instigators and is set in the actor's native city. His lifelong pal and castmate Casey Affleck also calls Boston his hometown. Damon says he is aware of how people view Boston and can be put off by Bostonians' sarcasm and cynicism. But to him, it feels like a comfortable pair of socks. New tourism slogan, anyone? The Instigators can be streamed on Apple TV. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 59. Tomorrow, some sunshine in the morning. Mostly cloudy in the afternoon, 82 with scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Part Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Part Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Part Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with our own Luke Mathers. Be here, find out what's grinding his gears and more.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Love to me is like a summer day. Silent
God. You know, there's never been another voice like his, right?
Now everyone knows who that is.
Yeah.
If you're old enough to know who that is.
After all these, you know, he's certainly been gone over half a century.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, he's been going a long time.
He was singing in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, into the 70s. This might even be from the early 70s. Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong.
My theme for today is just great weather. I can't, you know, we've had a stretch of weather that's, anyone who wonders whether Wisconsin is a good place to live ought to have been visiting Wisconsin for the last 3 weeks, because it doesn't get better than this.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Mark from Sussex. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. I gotta give Kamala a lot of credit. I am actually considering voting for her this time around, because she's for a lot of the same things I am now. She's for fracking. She's tough on the border. She's going to crack down on that border. She's tough on crime. She's going to fund the police versus defund the police. She's pro-Israel, which, again, all of these things 3 weeks ago, she was all against. If I was a Democrat, I'd be upset by some of these things that she's actually now supporting, which she never did and you guys never did in the past.
Well, so let me say this to you. Those things you just ticked off, I haven't heard her say she's for those things.
Well, I don't know whether she is or not. Whether a fracking, I'd be surprised about, but fracking's fraught with all kinds of collateral issues that are coming to the surface. But, you know, I know that Trump is blaming her for stealing his idea of no taxing on tips. That's politics. I guess if one politician offers a chicken in the pot, the other one might offer the same thing. I think that we ought to wait and see what policies we're talking about. But I don't think that there was ever any serious talk about defunding the police, whether she expressed words that sounded like that. The fact is, the Biden administration has heavily funded the police, okay? And the crime rate has gone down materially during the Biden years, particularly violent crime, as compared to the violent crime rate during the Trump years. So I think if we have a sort of a non-talking point, factual discussion about policies as they're being expressed and adopted by candidates, it'll be a very interesting comparison. And I don't think we're at that point yet, because I don't think that the Harris campaign has yet laid out all of their policies. I think you can listen at the rallies and hear what kind of priorities they're expressing relating to child care, relating to health care costs, relating to a lot of the things that we talk about on this show. But, you know, I listened to a fair amount of the Donald Trump interview. Not much concrete policy there. A lot of backhand, back of the arm waving, and a lot of factual misstatements designed to excite people. I mean, for instance, the notion that there are millions of immigrants coming into this country each month is a statement that's designed to be sort of frightening. It's also totally false. And it's something that Donald Trump said last night. So,
and the fact that all of these people, all these criminals, they've opened up their prisons and these
insane
these
asylums.
Criminals, yeah, insane asylums. And so let me ask you, Mark, so and I know you said it tongue in cheek and that you're now all of a sudden thinking about supporting Kamala Harris. Clearly you said that tongue in cheek. But, you know, she hasn't changed policies. I haven't heard one thing that she said, and I've listened intently, that she's changing policies so far, you know, that's opposite of Joe Biden.
Well, I think she has staked out some of her own policies, but I think we ought to wait for an actual delineation of them. If we want to talk about policies as expressed kind of off the cuff, we can look at the policies expressed at rallies, which are not just off the cuff. I think they're quite preconceived. And we should be doing the same with Donald Trump. We should be making a comparison of policies and a discussion of that.
Let's go to John from West Dallas. Good morning to you, John. You say what?
I have the thought, you know, I'm kind of a fan of Joe Rogan. I just, I think he's kind of intelligent and he's kind of an original critical thinker. And he's voting for Kennedy. And that surprised me. So I've kind of been watching YouTube videos of Kennedy trying to get an idea of who he is. And I'm kind of impressed with him.
Are you really?
Far more intelligent. Oh yeah, he's far more intelligent than I thought, because there's so many jokes about him. He's well informed. I'm impressed. I'm impressed with his background. He was an environmental lawyer, so he's pro-environment. There's a lot of things that appeal to me as a Democrat with him. And I don't know. I just thought I'd mention that to get his name out there and maybe hear what you guys have to say about him. But, he's kind of a surprise. Of the three people that are running, I think he has really the most integrity. I think he's very intelligent. I think, and I like him. There's a certain honesty about how he comes across. So I don't know if you guys know anything about him, or if you want to check him out, or if you just want to tell the people what you think.
Actually, a couple of things. One, you mentioned Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, I think, talked about outstanding person he thought maybe Robert Kennedy was. He got badgered and hectored by the MAGA Republicans, and he came on one of his next podcasts and said, "Hey, I'm voting for Trump. You know, I'm not voting for Kennedy." So Rogan hasn't actually gone all the way over to the Robert Kennedy camp as far as voting for him is concerned, apparently. Number two, I think that there's a lot about Kennedy that seems appealing, but he doesn't really stand up well with fact checking. So, you know, he plays kind of fast and loose with that in terms of his discussion of science when it comes down to, for instance, his positions with respect to vaccines and vaccinations. And so, you know, I think that he's not necessarily the person we want to have in the White House. I think that his background has been troubled but I don't disagree that you can sit and listen to him, and he's kind of entertaining if you can withstand the graveliness of his voice, which is an unfortunate physical malady. But he doesn't stand up well to fact-checking. I'll just say that. He's very glib, and he's seductive in his capacity to demonstrate intelligence.
Well, so Joe Rogan is a guy who I don't take seriously. You know, when we're talking about politics and those kinds of things, I know who he is. I've listened to him. He certainly built an empire. But just because you built an empire doesn't mean that you politically. And he's all over the map, Rogan.
Well, I think Joe Rogan is entertaining, number one. Number two, I think he's demonstrated with the way that he discusses things that he's an entirely independent thinker. I think he does that for the purpose of making sure that his podcasts, et cetera, can draw everybody in so he doesn't repel the people who are against whatever he might be for, because he's for a lot of things and not against very many. So I don't know. But, you know, I think we have a binary system here, and liking Robert Kennedy and potentially voting for Robert Kennedy, particularly if you're doing it from the Democratic side of the ledger, is really a vote for Donald Trump. So you have to factor that in. Regardless of the attractiveness of that third-party candidate, in today's world, they're not going to win the election. They're simply going to affect the election and affect the election outcome. And so we ought to worry about what that effect is going to be.
Some Texas, Tony, he's talking about Kennedy. He is not well informed. Watch the John Oliver segment on him, Dangerous Views. Brendan, Joe Rogan is smart. Tony, he lies confidently like Trump and it sounds truthful. Now, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. You know, my debate request still stands, Sandy, anytime, anywhere. You won't keep me.
Well, hey, Joe, CJ, let's have a conversation about what we're talking about.
You and try to deflect from Kamala and her record, the border czar. Now she's not. As she flip-flops on things.
Hey, CJ, let me see. Here's why I interrupt you. You are the one deflecting. We are talking about Donald Trump. We're talking about the fact that here's a man who lost the last time around and who has done nothing different, and what makes him viable this time around. And you want to say we're deflecting. You're the guy who's changing the subject. So the question is about not Kamala Harris. It's about Donald Trump. That's what we're having a conversation about. If you can focus on that, we'll welcome your conversation. But as far as you changing the subject to Kamala Harris, you know, we're talking about Donald Trump. What do you have to add to that?
Of course you'd not want to talk about her record. You want to talk about his record and his personality, not policy. Because when did Russia invade another country when he was president? They didn't. When was the border more secure to 30,000 a month and not 300,000 a month? It wasn't. It was Donald Trump who kept us safer and more prosperous. So go on and deflect from her record, hide her record. Don't discuss her record, because just like Mandela Barnes, when we find out what their record is and they want to defund the police, we don't want any part of them.
Okay, CJ. Same old tired record. Same old tired song. Again, you know, this is not about any of those, tired refrains that we get from you and Republicans constantly, looking to do everything you can within your power not to address the person that you are supporting, Donald Trump, right? We clearly know, Sandy, that Donald Trump's part of what he's talking about today, if he becomes the president again, former president, and this is in today's The Hill, former President Trump is calling for $4 to $6 trillion in tax cuts over 10 years, Sandy. That's factual. That's today. That's part of his policy, part of his plan. At a time when we have a $36 trillion budget deficit.
Well, we have a national debt.
A national debt.
I think that policy should be discussed. I think what we need to do is connect the dots, though, however, between a coincidence of numbers and facts and policies underlying them, okay? And, for instance, the numbers of people presenting themselves at the border, we need to talk about what that number is today, okay? Today that number is below the numbers that were being arrested at the border during the last years of the Trump administration. And the early period of the Biden administration was driven by post-COVID kind of fallout and problems that were associated with that and the mass movements and migrations of people. There are lots of factors at play. But I think if we're going to talk about migration, we need to talk about the tanking of that bipartisan bill as one of the most important facts associated with whether we want to fix the problem or not.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on the lines. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
With the willow pole, boats come drifting round the bend. Why must summer ever end? Oh, love to me is like a summer's day.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Sometimes life's challenges leave you feeling alone. We all need someone who understands and listens without judgment. That's what the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline is for. 988 is free and confidential. Trained counselors are ready to listen and provide support 24/7 for mental health and substance use concerns. You can contact 988 for yourself or for someone you know. Don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988wisconsin.org. 988 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
A lot of us were alive to remember. For some, it's just legend. The 1982 Brewers World Series run. Join us this Thursday, noon to 2 on the Allball Show as we welcome Kelly Call, producer, and Sean Hannish, director and producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Milwaukee Brewers. We're giving away 4 tickets to the Brewers game and 4 tickets so you can be at the world premiere on September 13th. Join us on Thursday.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, it's right. Why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway.
Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite.
In flight, afternoon delight.
So I think this afternoon delight isn't about the weather, but I thought of it as being about the weather.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go back to the phone lines and turn from L.A.
Good morning, Earl. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I didn't hear a beep. First off, I am a joyful democracy warrior. I am a person that does not believe in Project 2025. I am a person that does not want either a Democratic administration or a Republican administration to be an authoritarian. I want to thank, actually, CJ and Dave and Julie and some of these people that actually call up and actually admit that they're Republicans rather than people that are saying that they're Democrats, but they're going to vote for Kennedy. It just does not hold any water whatsoever. And I'm so proud of Kamala Harris and Coach Walz, and that, you know, they're talking about child care and talking about the child tax care or child tax credit, child care tax credit. And they're talking about health care, and they're talking about making it so people, all people, pay $35 for their prescription drugs, or maybe even move towards a Medicare for all type system. Talking about taxing the billionaires instead of, taxing the middle class, because the middle class tax cut that was there when Trump was there is now over. That sunsetted, but it isn't for the billionaires. It's still there. And then also talking about housing and talking about rental and mortgage. They're talking about where corporate landlords or whatever can't raise the rates on people's rent. And they're talking about increasing the minimum wage. They're talking about making it where people that work in the restaurant industry won't have to claim their tips on their taxes. Those are some concrete policy ideas, as well as strengthening unions, strengthening public education. Now, I'm going to tell you, in contrast to that, the Republicans want tax breaks for the billionaire class. They want to end Obamacare. They want to cut Social Security or privatize it. They basically want to privatize the commons, the things that we all have to take away the control from we the people and give it to an authoritarian dictator. And I would just ask, honestly, people like CJ and Dave and and all these people, please get inside your party and take it back over. We really do need to have two strong political parties in this country. And we don't need to have this authoritarian type dictatorship. We need people like the Lincoln Project.
Hey.
We need people like...
Hey, Tom, we got you, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'll just start with this. You know, what we've been battling, we the people, you know, all of us in the middle, has been trickle-down economics. We are seeing for the first time a discussion of true Republican platforms, probably the first time in, what, the last couple election cycles. So now that, you know, they're finally presented forward, Project 2025, and I think the other one is Project 47 or 45, I forget. We're seeing clearly what, for the first time, and what they're advocating. And it smells like rotten fish. but finally, for the first time, they're talking policy, the first time in the last couple of election cycles. So I welcome that, because there should be a clear distinction. But make no mistake, in trickle-down economics is the boogeyman that we're facing. And we don't have nearly enough discussions using those two words as, you know, somewhat counterintuitive to, you know, a republic or a functioning, a well-functioning republic. So, when you finally listen to these callers and they're talking about fracking, they're talking about, you know, policies, please bring it on. You know, let's talk more about these singular issues, because that way we can clarify the air and we can understand better what these candidates are for.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Yeah, Mike, I think you said a lot there. But I think what's interesting is, and you described the policy statements that you can find in Project 47 and Project 2025, and they do smell like rotten fish. And the Republicans know that from this public standpoint, they smell like rotten fish, and they're running away from both of them. Donald Trump is holding his nose and saying, no, I had nothing to do. I have nothing to do with all those policies. We all know full well, and he knows full well, that those are the policies. Those are the policies that have been developed by his staff, by his prior staff, by his prior cabinet officials, and it represents stuff that he tried to implement during his first 4 years as president, much of it. It also represents a bunch of stuff that we know he wants to implement. Sometimes on the campaign trail, he makes the mistake of actually talking about those things and talking about implementing them. But they don't want to talk about policy. And so right now they're saying, oh, no, we have nothing to do with those policy developed projects. We want to just talk about coincidences of fact that might exist during our administration, the Trump earlier administration, and during the Biden administration.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, how to organize at the local level to ensure our schools are supported instead of being undermined by our local elected officials.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter? Then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.